Well, good morning. I'm Mike Rudolph, one of your Brick Lane elders, but I also have the pleasure of serving as board president for Chester County Connect Care, formerly Chester County Women's Services, a ministry of three pregnancy medical centers serving Kennett Square, Westchester, and Coatesville. Thank you to John and the worship team this morning. Thank you, Larry, for praying. It was Brother Larry who first invited me to serve on a pregnancy center board many years ago. Thank you, brother. Thank you to the Lucases who will be reading scripture. Abby is our church liaison for Connect Care. And all the scripture used today is on the handout there on every other seat. Today's message has several sources, primarily a 1987 message from Alistair Begg titled Sanctity of Human Life. And that is the title of today's message. Also, an early R.C. Sproul sermon on Genesis 1:27-28 that he was very gracious to just give to us lay ministry elders as we filled the pulpit on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, really decades plus ago. The spirit of that message lives on today, and I'll be citing a Table Talk article later on. Finally, Rick Reniger, as always, who reviewed those messages many years ago, helped me with this one and shared many resources, including a January 2017 article by Travis McShirley on staff and published by Reston Bible Church. This prompted the entire reworking of the message. A very, very good thing, and all to God's glory. So our subject this morning is the sanctity of human life, or if you like, life is sacred. Christianity unequivocally and unashamedly makes that statement, life is sacred. And the Bible pulsates with this truth that life is sacred. And fundamental to it are three propositional truths, and I'll mention the first two early on, the last later on, and actually in two parts, 3A and 3B. That number one propositional truth, life is sacred because it is God created. Propositional truth number two, life is sacred because life is in the image of the Creator God. So here's some questions that I certainly think about, and as preparing this, jotted down, and just left four of the many questions that I had that I want us to think about. When you hear the word sanctity of human life, what immediately comes to mind? Why should we as believers care about abortion? Do we agree with God that life is sacred? And if we do believe that life is sacred, how should that inform how we think, how we act, and how we live? Now, how do we know that human life is uniquely precious, significant, and sacred? Because Scripture, from beginning to end, reveals the profound esteem given to Adam's descendants. This morning, we'll be looking at multiple passages of Scripture. For some, a reminder. For others, an introduction.
Romans 1:20a. For his invisible attributes, namely, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made.
Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature.
Psalm 139:13-16. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when yet, as yet, there was none of them.
Jeremiah 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations.
In Ecclesiastes 11, verse 5. As you do not know the path of the wind, or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things.
Ephesians 1, verse 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world.
Well, let us pray. Father, what we know not, teach us. What we are not, make us. What we have not, give us right here, right now. For Jesus' sake, amen. So propositional truth number one, life is sacred because it is God created. We go to God's word and note these references to lay down this fundamental biblical premise that life is sacred, first of all, because all of life is God's gift and it is God created. Perhaps it struck you, especially if you're wrestling this morning with the claims of Christianity, why is it that God didn't give us a different introduction to the Bible? Why didn't God put a preface to his holy word explaining a number of things that the Bible immediately takes for granted? Why, for example, did God not begin the Bible by proving his existence? For nowhere is any attempt made doing so, but rather Scripture begins with the fundamental premise that God is. God is, and works it out from there. In the same way, the Bible gives no real scientific explanation of the origin of human life, but it states these in these simple, historic, biblical, unequivocal terms. God made man, formed him out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils, and man therefore became a living being. So the gift of life comes from God. We begin this morning with this simple yet bold statement that every preborn child in the womb of its mother, the Scripture teaches, is fearfully and wonderfully created by God. Life is sacred because it is God created. Propositional truth number two. Secondly, life is sacred because life is in the image of the Creator God. And because man, and I use man in the generic sense, men and women are made in God's image. There we have the clear statement that the Bible makes in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. Please notice that he didn't make persons. He made males and he made females. And he made them radically different. And he made them different to fulfill his purposes. And the Scriptures are chock full with these clear, simple, and yet profound statements. Men and women are made in the image of God. And the implications are clear as well. Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Man, therefore, possesses an eternal spirit, an eternal spirit. The Bible says that life comes from God. Man is made in the image of God. Therefore, man is not merely some kind of souped-up gorilla. The fact of the matter is that man is distinct from every other part of the created order, in that man uniquely has an ever-living spirit and is made in the image of God. That is why we have to understand that human life is therefore the most precious thing in all the world. Human life is the most precious thing in all the world and is therefore protected by God in the sixth commandment, really the first horizontal commandment after the first vertical pointing to God. We read a simple statement sentence which defines God's concern for human existence in Exodus 20:13. You shall not murder. You shall not murder. Human life is sacred because it is elevated above the rest of the creation. Matthew 10:31, fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So the simple statement, you shall not murder, protects men, women, boys, and girls. Human life, which is sacred, therefore it protects all human life. Therefore it protects the elderly, the disabled, and on and on and on. And so it surely protects the preborn child in the womb of a mother because God ordained it to be this way. More of this later from the scriptures. Propositional truth 3A. Life is sacred because God loves life. God's command to not take life establishes the right to life, the right to human existence, the right to be born, the right to live. And that continuum, which goes from conception to death and in Jesus Christ to eternal life. The right to life takes precedence over every other supposed right which men and women may know as human beings in society. The right to live takes precedence over the right to happiness. It takes precedence over the right to freedom. It takes precedence over the right to myself and to my body. Exodus 21:22 through 25. When men strive together and hit a pregnant woman, so that her children come out, but there is no harm, the one who hit her shall surely be fined, as the woman's husband shall impose on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if there is harm, that is, serious injury, then you shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. It is therefore important for us to understand that a preborn child in the womb of its mother is already a human being. And that's why if the child came forth prematurely dies, the other person who caused the injury was to die. Life for life. Not life for non-life. Not life for potential life within the womb, but life for life which already exists within the womb. Human life is sacred because God takes special care to craft each one. And we heard Psalm 139. Here's verses 13 and 14 again. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says that the preborn child is alive from the moment of conception. Indeed, the Bible says that in the thought of the Creator God, there is a sense in which the child is alive even before conception. For God says, I saw you before you were created. And no matter how far we may push it back, if you look in your Bible, you will discover this, that the Bible says that the preborn child within the woman is capable of moving, of leaping. Genesis 25 describes the tussle that goes on with the twins, Esau and Jacob. They were alive in there. They were wrestling. You read about Elizabeth and what was happening inside her tummy in Luke 1. And you read of the prophet Jeremiah from that verse who was consecrated within his mother's womb. Interestingly enough, the same Greek word is used in Luke's gospel for John the Baptist unborn. It says the baby within the womb is the Greek word brephos, B-R-E-P-H-O-S, brephos. So John the Baptist, before he's born, is called brephos. Well, in Luke 18, when the mothers brought children to Jesus, they were also called brephos. So in other words, the Bible makes no delineation, no distinction at all between the preborn child in the womb and the child grown up enough to sit on the knee of the Lord Jesus. Loved ones, think about that as you bounce that little one on your knee this day, this week, this year. Given all that the Bible does say, and we really have just scratched the surface, it's interesting that abortion has moved from a historically heinous act, to today in 2023, it's viewed as a good and a positive thing, and even something to celebrate. How is it that they've managed to portray themselves as the intellectuals, the people who really think, who really care? And they present evangelical Christians and those who have propounded the truths of God's word as a bunch of weirdos. Really a bunch of toothless hillbillies who couldn't add two and two together if you gave them till the end of time. And that we are the ones who don't care and even want to harm women by proposing alternatives to abortion as a better choice. Well, the fact of the matter is they've thought very carefully, and in worldly terms, they've marketed themselves very well. Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light, and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Since 1973, over 63 million babies have been aborted in America. And the last statistics for the entire year broken down are 2020. And in 2020 alone, there were over 900,000 recorded abortions. That's 2,548 per day, 106 per hour, and one every 34 seconds. Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So what are we going to do? What do? We just wring our hands? No. Alistair Begg believes this is what we need to do first. We need to be biblical in our thinking, thorough in our understanding of God's word, and be unequivocal and unashamed in standing up for Christian principles. If we believe that life is sacred, this will inform how we think, act, and live. By contrast, the third propositional truth in Scripture, when I read it in whole, is radical. And it turns actually the first two on their head in some ways, or at least in worldly terms. Life is sacred because God loves life. And he sent his one and only Son to die to redeem it. That's radical. But church family, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. And here's four points about that propositional truth. Human life is sacred because Christ was willing to pay an inexpressible cost to redeem it. Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. Amen. Number two, human life is sacred because all of heaven celebrates when a sinner repents. When one sinner repents. Luke 15:10, just so I tell you, there is joy. There is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Third point, human life is sacred because it is made for God's glory. Isaiah 43:7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made for his glory. And human life is sacred because God loves it beyond measure. And we don't see this put up on, you know, football stadiums anymore, but we used to see the John 3:16. And it is one that we should have in our head and our heart. Because human life is sacred because God loves it beyond measure. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, in a message last year, Alistair Begg spoke of John Burridge, an 18th century Christian who once observed, a Christian never falls asleep in the fire, never falls asleep in the water, but grows drowsy in the sunshine. You don't fall asleep in the fire when there's heat in your life, do you? You don't fall asleep with the water coming up over your head, do you? But it's really, really easy for me, and maybe for some of you, to fall asleep in the sunshine. Would it be a dreadful thing that in 2023, the men and women a brick lane fell asleep in the sunshine. Please, Lord Jesus, wake us up this very day if we've fallen asleep. For Jesus' sake, amen. Medical doctor and minister Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones greeted his congregation at the church's front door after every service, where he would say to each of them two words. Two words. And I love them. It was, keep on. Keep on. Keep on. Keep on, he would say to them. Loved ones, the roughly 2,700 pregnancy medical centers in America today are seeking to imitate Jesus in humility and service to the women and families they get to serve. See, we get to serve them. It's a privilege each and every day. At Chester County Connect Care's three centers, at Amnion Pregnancy Centers of Drexel Hill, and you may not have known, now in Norristown. At Genesis Women's Clinic, where Larry and I served many years ago, up Pottstown and now Phoenixville. Isn't that a praise? And at Mercy Pregnancy Center of Reading, imitating Jesus in humility and service. Now, I want to close by reading an excerpt from an October 2020 Table Talk article that was the last page by Center Director Andrea Cassis, titled Abortion, Ministering to Mother, Child, and Family. And that title kind of says it all on what our vision is and why we exist. And it was a great encouragement to me, because I love to be encouraged, and I love to encourage others. And it was a great encouragement to me, and I pray that it will be an encouragement for each of you today. And here's what Andrea writes. My prayer is always that we would love them well and would see each meeting as a divine appointment with a woman who we may ultimately point to Jesus Christ. In Philippians 2, 5 through 11, we read about Christ humbling himself by taking on the form of a servant. And here's the passage. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. She continues, we are called to imitate Jesus in humility and service. As those who bear the name of Christ and are his ambassadors to the world, we have the opportunity to slow down an emotionally charged decision and shed light on life-giving options. This is our chance to show her the great care and compassion of our loving Heavenly Father. In order to effectively help women who are considering abortion, we must be clothed in the humility of Christ, with love, with genuineness and empathy. To love well a woman who is considering abortion, we meet her with the compassion of Jesus Christ, knowing that in order to save the baby, we must minister to her heart and pray that in our loving her, she will grow to love her baby. Putting love into action is rarely easy. Please know, it is messy. It's often inconvenient, and it is costly. Yet it is what we are called to do as servants of Christ. Let us not grow weary in doing good, and let us continue to display the love of Christ. Life is sacred, says the Bible. Propositional truth number one, life is sacred because it is God created. Propositional truth number two, life is sacred because life is in the image of the Creator God. And propositional truth number three, life is sacred because God loves life and he sent his one and only Son to redeem it. So on behalf of the area's pregnancy medical centers and their staffs, volunteers, and supporters, we're keeping on. We're keeping on. We are joyful and expectant. I repeat, we are joyful and expectant always in the Lord and the work he's given us. We will remain steadfast in Jesus Christ and the abundant life found in him. Church family, let's keep on together, shall we? And as I close in prayer, could those coming up to offer prayer here, please do so now. And let us pray. Well, Father, thank you. Thank you that your holy word accomplishes its purposes that you have appointed for it. And we rest in that with strong confidence. We do. We thank you that you love us in Jesus with an everlasting love, and we bless you for this. And I pray, Lord, for some who are wrestling literally on the sea of life, that they may be brought to a solid conviction and assurance of the security and safety that is found by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. For in his name we pray, amen.